as a leader, there are things that you can do to just make yourself productive. But the best way to use it is as a thought partner. You're like constantly trying to make these decisions and you go like, which is better, this or that? Who can you turn to? You're not going to turn to your team. You can get inputs from them, but they don't have your perspective. And so you have this beautiful thing. And I created my own GPT, customize it within ChatGPT. And it's called the Bookwise Editor is what I call it. It has all of my writings, it has my book outline, all the chapters I've written so far. And I told it, you're a development book editor specializing in business and technology. And I give it a chapter and I'm like, tell me what's good about it. What's bad about it? Ask me questions. Have a conversation with me. Oh, so as a leader, you are leading. You usually have a point of view of how you want things to change, how things should be done differently, because otherwise you're a manager, right? Yeah. Managing the status quo. That's easy.
Yeah.
A leader, you're creating change. And it's unclear. So I can use ChatGPT as like, give me some feedback here before I impose it on my team.
Welcome to How Women Inspire, where women lead, invest, and give. I'm your host, Julie Castro Abrams, founder and CEO of How Women Lead and managing partner of the venture firm How Women Invest. Feminist, social justice warrior, mother, friend of 50,000 plus badass women, and an expert at helping top executive women get on boards and break down barriers for women entrepreneurs, investors, and social impact activists. In this podcast, we interview women influencers and leaders from across the globe who are in the C-suite, founding companies, investing, and agents of change. We'll share stories of how women lead. We'll provide insights and data, tips you can put into action, and get to know the women who have fiercely and unabashedly stepped into their power in leadership and opened doors for other women like you. We discuss topics ranging from the journey of getting a board seat, how we can counter cultural frameworks that change the way the world views women leaders, what we're doing to close the gender funding gap, and driving equity for women in all aspects of life and career. My goal is that after every episode, you walk away feeling inspired, unstoppable, ready to level up and step into your power and influence. I want to break down the cultural narratives that hold us back collectively and those messy messages you heard that are taking up way too much of your brain space. I want you to know you're invited in, because I know that together we can change the culture, change opportunities, and create the future we want for our daughters and sisters and friends. This is our time. Are you in? Welcome to How Women Inspire. Our guest today is going to knock your socks off. If you want to be on the cutting edge of everything innovation, you've come to the right place today. Charlene Lee is a New York Times bestselling author of 6 books on disruption and transformation. The book I love the most and read and refer to all the time is The Disruption Mindset. She's currently working on her next book. Of course, can you imagine, like, what is the most disruptive new technology right now today in 2024? It's all about winning with generative AI. Charlene was also the founder and CEO, or is, of Altimeter Group, a disruptive analytics firm that was acquired in 2015. She also got her first board seat after taking our board readiness course. Charlene's also just one of the most loving, generous, say yes people, has hosted my daughter and her husband in concerts at her home. I just am so glad to get to spend time with you today, my dear.
I'm excited.
All right, before we dive in, I know music is really important to you. If you have had to pick a theme song that was played for your different fun moments or moments that are challenging, what is that for you?
Well, it would absolutely be the Indigo Girls, Closer to Fine. Okay. And I love the lyrics. I have them in front of me here. There's more than one answer to these questions, praying to me in a crooked line. The less I seek my solace for some definitive, closer I am to fine. And it's such a good reminder to me that I should keep striving, but if I just let things be, the answer will come. So the more I try, the harder it is. So I can set some manifestations out there, but I'm going to be fine. Closer I am to fine.
I think in so many ways, that's something we
if you're lucky, you find as you get older, right? It starts to become something where you're just like, listen, I need to stay in peace and joy and ease. And but you really, there's no way you're just staying in that and also being an expert on the most disruptive technologies and that are coming down the pike. So clearly you put in the effort and put in the work. I think about you in this disruption space. How do you really, do you implement any of this in your everyday life? And what should we all do to think? What are the bright
things? I put it away, but my mug in the morning is a quote that says, life begins at the end of your comfort zone.
There we go.
So it is a reminder to myself every day to get out of my comfort zone. I call it having an adventure every day. So what adventure can I create for myself? Like most adventures, you never know quite what the outcome is going to be. And so I try to build adventure and disruption and curiosity into my life every single day. And it keeps that passion, that interest going. And you go, huh, a lot of times. But that's how I keep at it, because I find being at that edge to be so invigorating. And especially with things like generative AI, I don't know half the time what I'm doing. And I'm just shocked and amazed by trying new things. I can write code now. Whoever thought I could actually write code? I don't actually write code, but I can actually create apps and products that I could have never done before.
It is amazing. And for other women, what should we all be really leaning into when we think about, well, certainly disruption, but also generative AI?
Yeah, well, one thing, especially for women, my research, and this was a very interesting finding from the disruption book, is that there is a gender gap when it comes to disruption. And for better or for worse, we do not perceive that being disruptive is a positive thing for us, and for good reason. As women, we are punished if we stand up. Don't stand up. I mean, it's just this terrible double bind, right? And so I found that in the research, you could have the same exact same leadership skills and characteristics and mindsets, all the things that make you a disruptive leader, all those characteristics, exactly the same as men, and women will grade themselves, perceive themselves a whole step lower in their disruptive capability. And so it is this ability, I think, to embrace disruption, to see it as a positive force, because I believe we have so many issues and problems we want to address in ourselves, our organizations, our families, our society. We are not going to get there by incrementally addressing these problems. We're going to have to look at them and say, how do we disrupt them for the better? We're going to have to take on and be prepared to do huge amounts of transformational change, thoughtful, planned out change. But unless we think big, we're not going to act big.
So if I'm a woman, I'm listening to this, I'm hearing acknowledgement that there's a reason culturally where we've been disincentivized to do that, but that it's an imperative if we want to see the world we want to have, and if we want to be the change agents and be at the top of the heap in terms of being there in the room where it happens, if you will. But how do you reconcile both of those, and then also add in the ease you're talking about? How do you handle it? Do you do something different in your delivery, or is it about how you respond when people come at you with, why should we listen to you?
Well, there's two ways that I have found. One is you can say it pretty strongly, but in a soft way, or you can say it softly in a strong way, but you can't do both. And so it's brutally hard to figure out that right balance, but I can say things, I can tell people, look, I go into boardrooms oftentimes and I'm talking about innovation, disruption. I go, we can talk about all that, but we need to talk about the fact that you all don't trust each other.
Yeah.
Fundamentally don't trust each other. You say you do. You all are very nice and polite and you like each other, but you fundamentally do not trust each other. And I can call them on this in a way that I can actually get away with it as a woman that a man probably couldn't.
Hey, well, so, because women come forward often as the advisor on emotions in our lives, right? My son, my husband, the men I work with, that's, I don't know if you call it softer side, but that talking about trust, that's a big.
The soft side is really hard. It's really hard. And we excel at it. Yeah. So let's lean into those strengths as a way to bridge those hard discussions that have to take place. And so I'm not saying we back away from that, but because of our ability to build relationships, to understand and read the room before you get into that situation, that people trust you so you can say the hard truths that no one else can.
Fantastic. I mean, I'm thinking about pulling out some of my toolbox as I've been trained as an executive coach. You know, the question asking that gets you to the answer. If you were going to say, how can you be disruptive? I hear the value of it, the power of it, and some of the what should you do if you're going to deliver that message. But some people are feeling like they've got a pretty tight box around them.
Right. The way you can go in there and throw bombs and disrupt things, be it apple cart turner, that I call it the protagonist. And the problem with that is, to what end? Mm-hmm. And so if you are aligned with the executives who are you are trying to change, but you are aligned 100% with what their goals are, every executive worth their salt has three goals that they're trying to achieve, their top three objectives. Know those by heart. Understand them. Like, this is what they live for. And everything that you do in the disruption space is in the achievement of those goals. Mm-hmm. So you're just asking them, say, I'm aligned with you. I want to achieve these same things. And I think there's a way we can get there, but it's going to be tricky. It's going to be hard. Do you want to hear about it?
Even with some of my colleagues, I was seeing the kind of before, what was it? When was it? January 2023? Or was it this January? I can't remember when like ChatGPT came out. But I started talking to my team and I had people say, oh no, I'm a great writer. This is terrible. Everybody's going to, you know, as every innovation does, right? People are no longer going to have their job riding the buggy, driving the buggy with the horses. Since people can have their own cars. There was a lot of that going on. So I'm not sure I did a great job with leading inside my own organization with leading disruption. I tried to get people on my team to do it, Charlene. And what I ended up doing is I personally did a Zoom with my team and I said, hey, you guys, let's put this in here. Look what comes out. You could create an agenda, the first draft of an agenda. It doesn't always have to be your very precious writing. But how do you think people should be thinking about using generative AI as leaders?
Oh, I have a whole bunch of content on this. And I would actually point people to a Coursera course that the CEO of Coursera, Jeff Maggio-Calda, has done. I can send you the links. You can put them into the podcast notes afterwards, but it's called Navigating Generative AI, the CEO Playbook. And it is a fantastic 3-hour course that takes you through all of it. But the way I think about it is, as a leader, there are things that you can do to just make yourself productive, but the best way to use it is as a thought partner. As a leader, you're like constantly trying to make these decisions and you go like, which is better, this or that? Who can you turn to? You're not going to turn to your team. You can get inputs from them, but they don't have your perspective. And so you have this beautiful thing. And I created my own GPT, customize it within ChatGPT. And it's called the Bookwise Editor is what I call it. It has all of my writings, it has my book outline, all the chapters I've written so far. And I've told it, you're a development book editor specializing in business and technology. And I give it a chapter and I'm like, tell me what's good about it. What's bad about it? Ask me questions. Have a conversation with me. So as a leader, you are leading. You usually have a point of view of how you want things to change, how things should be done differently, because otherwise you're a manager, right? Yeah. Managing the status quo. That's easy. Yeah. A leader, you're creating change. And it's uncertain. It's unclear. So we can use ChatGPT as like, give me some feedback here before I impose it on my team.
I love that. That's fantastic. How did you even get here, Charlene? What's your background or experience that you think is the biggest reason why you're a disruptor?
I grew up in Detroit and I'm Asian American. I'm Chinese American. My parents were immigrants, first generation. I was born in Detroit and there were no Asians in Detroit when I was growing up. In fact, in my elementary school, there were no people of color. Wow. And so as a person of color, in a very non-diverse space, I was a rocking form of disruption everywhere that I went. So I got very comfortable being very different from everybody. And so I think really I was reflecting on it, like, why am I so comfortable trying new things, being in new places? Because I'm constantly was facing that as a child and even deciding to go into business in the late 80s. My father's like, why do you want to go into business? It's all tall white men who are short Asian women. who are role models and examples? And I looked around like there aren't any. There were none. And so I like, but I can type 100 words a minute. I'll be fine. I'll make my way in the world. If nothing else, I'll be a great executive assistant to somebody. So that sense that if my parents could come to the U.S. with nothing and build a life and raise my family, I could get out there and try. I mean, what are the risks in the end? And so I had a strong level of confidence early on that said, I can try a lot of different things. And if they fail, it'll be okay. Because I have confidence that no matter what the outcome is going to be, I'm going to be okay. So I have a great relationship with failure. Because I don't think I ever fail. I just learn continuously. Yeah.
That's beautiful. I so wish I knew that in my 20s. You just mentioned family. So you had your kids even in your early 40s, right? Like while you were starting your company, like that's a big, you're growing everything all at once. What?
Yeah, it was interesting because I had my first son and I was running a group inside the newspapers at the time. And I decided I was tired of raising a child and managing children. So I was done. I became an analyst at Forrester, where I had a lot more control over my time. And I loved it. I loved the intellectual challenge, constantly looking at things that were new and not having to deal with managing people. I ended up managing people. And then in a moment of madness, I started a company when I was 42, managing more analysts. And it is not the thing that you normally think of when you have two young kids and doing this. But I figured after writing a book, I could do anything because just
everyone's time, like, what's the book you're going to write? And it's like, do you know how hard that is? Are you sure?
I wrote a book while working full time.
That's just nutty.
Raising a family. It was insane. Yeah. So the thing is, I think being a parent and especially a mother, you learn how to segment time and to do things in 15-minute increments. Yeah. And so I write books in 15-minute increments. If I get 2 hours, it's glorious, right? Yeah. I just came back from 4 days in a bungalow sequestered away because I had 4 days between trips. I'm like, I'm not going to fly home. I'm just going to stay here. It was glorious, but that is rare. It's usually I have 15 minutes in the back of an Uber. I'm going to write whatever I can, do this one thing and get that out the door. Yeah. So it is literally slaying things as you can. And the thing I realized is that there is no such thing as balance. There is just a series of less than optimal compromises that you have to make. And I got very, very comfortable doing that. I don't try to be perfect. Yeah. I am just going to be awesome instead.
Look at you. That's so brilliant. Thank you for sharing that. I think one of the questions I hate the most is about balance. And I think women get it all the time and men don't, right? To me, living like you do, with ease and purpose and intention of how you do that work and always pushing the envelope and growing has to be the very best thing for kids to ever see in their parent. I mean, how lucky are they?
And I was not like this. I mean, I remember I joined a group called YPO. That's a group of CEOs. And it was life-changing because it was 2011. I was in the thick of starting my company. And you're asked at each month when you have a gathering together, what's going on in your business? What's going on with your family? What's going on with you personally? And I'm like, business is this. Family is this. Me? There's no me. There's no time for me. And my colleagues, my farm mates were like, yeah, I'm going for a bike ride all day Saturday. Like, how do you do that? Like, how do you have time to go for a bike ride with everything going on? Well, they're dudes and they have wives. And I'm like, are you doing the same thing for your wives? They have all day Sunday to go do something, but that's a different issue. I started learning how to carve out time for me and how important it was to fill my cup. It took a while. I mean, I only figured out how to truly, truly do that in the past couple of years. And it's understanding that if I don't fill my cup to overflowing and give from the overflow, I have no reserves to give. And so I have to take care of myself first. And if I am not at 100%, I cannot give to my work, to my colleagues, to my family, to my community. But I have to be at 100%. So started focusing really well on my health, on my sleep, got super healthy. Did a lot of work around so many things, lost a ton of weight, got all my numbers down, and it was with help. I take all these great GLP medications now, and it has completely changed my life. Did a lot of personal development work to try to get to that point of ease and equanimity. Yeah. So that I'm not trying to be everything to everyone and I'm taking care of myself first.
Well, for anybody who, I mean, everybody's listening to this, but they could see your smile. You just radiate. It's so much fun to be able to be in your orbit. Do you have a last piece of advice for women who are listening to this?
I think the most important thing is to be really clear about what you want. We are so good at giving to everybody else what they want. And it's still my biggest area of development. This is what I journal, reflect on, work on, talk with people about, and encourage my friends when they see me kind of like, just, I'm pretty easygoing. I just go with whatever. Like, no, what do you really want? Flavor of ice cream do you want?
It's like,
what do you want to eat? Where do you want to go eat for dinner? But being really clear, instead it's just like, yeah, I'm good with whatever. No, what do I want? Yeah, I'm easygoing. I'm very accommodating. But what do I want? Be really clear about what you want.
That feels like a mic drop moment, honestly, for women who are listening to this. Certainly for me. What do you mean? Do I get to want something? Really, Charlene? Is that really on the table? I feel like I spend so much of my life. I'm probably behind you on this journey. I'm so glad we're talking because really putting my needs and what I want out there doesn't feel like it's yet a consistent thing. So thank you for that. I'm going to walk away from this with that as something that I'm going to ask myself every day. How can people find you?
They can come to my website, charlenelee.com. I just revamped it. I'm so happy about it.
We did an update. Fantastic. And you're available for speaking. I know. I hear you doing all kinds of amazing speaking.
I would love to speak to your organization. I do quite a bit of speaking to women's groups, actually, inside of organizations about everything from psychological safety to imposter syndrome to how to be disruptive. Because we need women to step up and be the most disruptive forces for change that they can be.
So everybody who's listening to this, we went through a tour of why it's hard for women to do that and how you could reset your thinking so that this could really become one of your superpowers. So I hope everybody here is walking away with a new perspective on how to think about both in your work life using AI, but also in your personal life. How do you think about what do you want? And how can you just courageously move everything forward? Thank you so much, Charlene, for being with us today. You are a gift to all of us. You're one of those rare women, and I'm so glad to call you my friend.
So good to see you. Thank you.
And with that, I want to thank you all for listening to today's episode of How Women Inspire. And because your inspiration should not stop when this podcast ends, head over to our website, howwomenlead.com. Follow us on LinkedIn at How Women Lead and subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast app to find out how you can proactively take charge and step into your power through our workshops and activism. In our loving network, we want to propel you. See you next time, ladies. And remember to be unabashedly visible.